This program is intended for mature audiences only.
In this fascinating show, you'll learn Taoist secrets to optimize male orgasmic fitness. Hear about the powerful sexual healing taking place that's changing people's lives. And discover how you can recognize your next great teacher walking down the street or right over the internet.
Well, what I was looking for actually is the ability to detach from addiction. I think that our greatest, the Buddha said that pain and suffering are the realities of life, and that the source of suffering is desire. So naturally, I looked at desire and was working on it very intensively. But then I realized that you can't really, go through that desire. You can't really extinguish desire unless you actually go through with it. So I realized that a more inclusive technique would just be to study things like Tantra and to integrate sexuality into the meditation practice. What we try to do is balance the hormones, because if your hormones go up and down and are unbalanced, generally you'll feel depression. So what Taoists like to do is actually increase the strength of your container so that the hormones go from, instead of sad to happy, they go from happy to extremely happy. And you just are happy all the time. And between that practice and a couple of healings that I received from very powerful healers, I basically entered this kind of state of bliss, and I've been there. So my favorite story about that is I met a really pretty girl, and I was dating her. I was like totally in love. And her name was Mary. So if that's you out there, So what she did, which was the greatest blessing of all time, was she actually had another boyfriend at that time that she had broken up with, and he came back and wanted to marry her. So I had to break up with her. And when she told me that, I'd been meditating so long that I actually could see my own body inside. I saw this kind of inner body reaching for the sadness switch, and I realized that everything she said to me were just words. They were just like vibrations, and that I was actually causing the emotional reaction. So I decided, well, as an experiment, let's not turn on that switch. And that switch has been off basically the last 20 years. So generally, I notice that every moment is actually filled with a kind of wonder and bliss and joy. And as long as the hormones are balanced and that you do basic exercises and you're not in physical pain, that this feeling of completion of the beauty of life is there. And that's why the system is called Complete Reality, is because you actually see the complete reality of life through the system. This new thing is the first new major religion to be forming in hundreds of years. And that's why I started studying it. The first thing I did is I met a bunch of Dakinis, and I realized that many of them are actually in a state where they wrestle with real sexuality. So instead of just making it theoretical, like you can't have any sex and then think about sex, they actually are in the world where they can wrestle with the issues of sexuality firsthand, in the trenches of it, so to speak. So I have great respect for many of the Dakas and Dakinis that are creating this body of knowledge as we speak.
And the Dakas and Dakinis are the people who are out there teaching men and women how to reclaim their sensual and sexual skills in their marriages and just in their love lives.
Yeah, I think that there are many different, my definition of enlightenment is that it's not a noun, it's a verb. It's like the word education.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach people how to give and receive way more pleasure than they ever dreamed possible. Today on the show, we're talking about Neo-Taoist perspectives on health and sexuality, including orgasms Angasms, Complete Reality, and More. Our guest is Moses Ma, a modern-day Taoist practitioner who's been teaching meditation and martial arts for over 30 years. Welcome, Moses.
Hi, thanks.
Hi. Moses has been, among other things, a hit video game designer, an artist, a physicist, a renowned technology visionary, a martial artist, and an independent filmmaker. He's studied from many remarkable men, including the Nobel laureate physicist Richard Feynman and the secretive Taoist master K.K. Chan, who accepted him into the complete reality system of Taoism 30 years ago. But above all else, he is a poet and a simple meditation practitioner. I'm pleased to have you with us today. I think our listeners will be fascinated by your unique blend of perspectives. You've studied physics and Taoism intensively with great masters, yet you've consistently pushed the cutting edges of business and technology as well. So I want to hear how you've put this all together, the sex, the spirituality, the healthy lifestyle, the Taoism, and even the research on orgasm. So let's get started. And let's start with the sex. I think our listeners may hear the word Taoist sex and immediately go to male multiple orgasm, rightly or wrongly. So, can you tell us about orgasms and possibly angasms? What's your opinion on all of this?
Wow. This is such an interesting subject. When I started studying Taoism many years ago, I guess maybe 30 years ago now, my teacher was from a traditional school of Taoism. And in that system, you basically are celibate. So I spent a long time training in a method that included complete celibacy. So in that system, which is called the Complete Reality School, you do these very interesting meditations for balancing your hormones so that you can actually achieve a state of bliss and happiness in every moment. And then you circulate this energy once it's kind of gelled inside of your system. So when I first started, it was a traditional system, and they even taught me techniques for not having wet dreams so that you could, it's called sealing the lower gates so that you wouldn't lose any energy. And I had this model that I was taught that, you know, if you have an ejaculation, you'll lose your energy, you know. And if you don't have an ejaculation, you know, you'll probably get prostate cancer. It's like a lose-lose situation. Then after going through that traditional practice, I found that a more middle pathway is to actually let go of that and to see that instead of an orgasm where you can lose your energy or, you know, have fun, I realized that we should be seeking angasms where you actually can have orgasms and increase energy, and that it's actually only a limit. It's only limited by your thought patterns around that system. So anyway, that's where it started.
Okay, great. So that's really interesting. So just as a bit of background, how long were you studying this Taoist system and before you came to your realization that you wanted to kind of move on?
I was in training, deep training, for maybe 3 or 4 years, and I was fully celibate for 1 year of it, which is less than, you know, many monks, but it was enough for me. The system was very interesting. I actually slept every night on a board about 18 inches wide, 3 feet off the ground, so you would fall off if you ever went fully unconscious, so it forced you to be more conscious. I never got to the advanced stage where you actually put ropes all over your bedroom and you sleep on ropes, but I did that for a while. Well, what I was looking for actually is the ability to detach from addiction. I think that our greatest... you know, the Buddha said that pain and suffering are the realities of life, and that the source of suffering is desire. So naturally, I looked at desire and was working on it very intensively. But then I realized that you can't really, you know, go through that desire. You can't really extinguish the desire unless you actually go through with it. So I realized that a more inclusive technique would just be to study things like Tantra and to integrate sexuality into the meditation practice.
Okay, great. So just want to follow this through. Let's put a time on this. This was the 30 years ago with the KK Chan. So you were in that for 3 or 4 years. Did you ever achieve bliss in this system? Did it work?
Yeah. Okay, so the system is, it's very... Okay, so let me put it this way. When I started meditating, the very first year I did this, I had all sorts of wonderful confirmatory experiences. I would see lights, I'd feel bliss, I would actually feel void state, I'd feel like I was made of glass. And then after a year, they passed away, so I didn't get those experiences. So I went to my teacher and I said, you know, those confirmatory experiences have disappeared. And he goes, that's very good. Then I kept practicing for 3 more years and nothing happened. And I said, you know, nothing's happening. He said, that's very good. Then after 5 years, I said, nothing's still happening. I said, are you still meditating? I said, yeah, every single day. He goes, that's very good. After about 10 years, I realized that this meditation had actually entered my being and the fabric of my life so that every moment was kind of like meditating in a way, and that every moment was blissful. So this theory that Taoism uses is what we try to do is balance the hormones, because if your hormones go up and down and are unbalanced, generally you'll feel depression. So what Taoists like to do is actually increase the strength of your container so that the hormones go from, instead of sad to happy, they go from happy to extremely happy. And you just are happy all the time. And between that practice and a couple of healings that I received from very powerful healers, I basically entered this kind of state of bliss, and I've been there. So my favorite story about that is I met a really pretty girl, and I was dating her. I was, like, totally in love. And her name was Mary. So if that's you out there. what she did, which was the greatest blessing of all time, was she actually had another boyfriend at that time that she had broken up with. And he came back and wanted to marry her. So I had to break up with her. And when she told me that, I'd been meditating so long that I actually could see my own body inside. I saw this kind of inner body reaching for the sadness switch, you know, and I realized that everything she said to me were just words. They were just like vibrations, and that I was actually causing the emotional reaction. So I decided, well, as an experiment, let's not turn on that switch. And that switch has been off basically the last 20 years. So generally, I noticed that every moment is actually filled with a kind of wonder and bliss and joy. And as long as the hormones are balanced and that you do basic exercises and you're not in physical pain, that this feeling of completion of the beauty of life is there. And that's why the system is called complete reality, is because you actually see the complete reality of life through the system.
Wow, so you've managed to maintain that system even now, even though you got out of the celibacy and went on to pursue how to have orgasms and the angasms and the Tantra following that.
Well, actually, what was more interesting is my teacher actually, he stopped teaching actively and became a currency trader. And I said, why did you do that? And he said, oh, I've got to finish my karma. It's like the fastest way to do it is to do business. So I said, go do business. So I became an entrepreneur, and I started a video game company which did two of the world's best-selling hits. And one of them was called a game called Spectre, which was the first game you could play on the internet. So I basically invented internet gaming. And I sold that company, which is a very Taoist experience to make a lot of money and just to try to be centered through that. Then, and what I noticed is I could just breathe and not be attached to it. And then I put a lot of that money into another company, which, like, you know, we raised like $20 million in 24 hours at this huge conference. And it was in the middle of the dot-com era. And it's just absolutely insane, right? So I thought I'd be a billionaire. I had a full-page article about myself in Time Magazine predicting I'd be like the next hot thing. And then it all crashed immediately, you know. And I highly recommend this experience to people because it's very Buddhist, you know, like letting go of that money without becoming sad. So I noticed that it was actually okay. And a lot of other people around me were depressed, but I actually just thought it's all a lesson in life. So business is very useful for tuning that the strength of your system to withstand the ups and downs of life and just be in a state of joy at every moment.
Well, I don't know what's more appealing to a lot of listeners, money or great orgasms or great vitality. So you're hitting a lot of hot buttons.
Yeah, you know, what the system that I studied actually has a complete esoteric tantric lineage in it. And one of my teacher's teacher is like a wonderful Tibetan Chinese yogi, Buddhist yogi named C.M. Chen, who lived in Berkeley. So many great teachers have actually taught traditional tantric approaches. I was very interested in what I call neo-tantra, or this this new kind of thing that's been emerging in the West. Buddhism is actually forming a new kind of American Buddhism that's an amalgamation of many kinds of Buddhisms, and their inner esoteric tantric lineages of all religions are actually merging together in this thing I call neo-tantra. So I wanted to document it and just understand it, because this new thing is the first new major religion to be forming in hundreds of years. And that's why I started studying it. The first thing I did is I met a bunch of dakinis, and I realized that many of them are actually in a state where they wrestle with real sexuality. So instead of just making it theoretical, like you can't have any sex and then think about sex, they actually are in the world where they can wrestle with the issues of sexuality firsthand in the trenches of it, so to speak. So I have great respect for many of the dakas and dakinis that are creating this body of knowledge as we speak.
And the dakas and the dakas and dakinis are the people who are out there teaching men and women how to reclaim their sensual and sexual skills in their marriages and just in their love lives.
Yeah, I think that there are many different, my definition of enlightenment is that it's not a noun, it's a verb. It's like the word education. So you might ask somebody who doesn't have a lot of education, are you educated? And they go, yeah, finished, grade school. Whereas if you ask somebody with a PhD, if they're educated, they go, I'm just beginning, right? So enlightenment, it's the same thing. I think that the beginning of sexuality is fixing your marriage or learning how to be more fulfilled in your sexuality. I think that beyond that are many other states. I think that the core of Tantra is actually to find the state of bliss at every moment, and to actually be in a state of happiness. And I think that within Tantra holds, there are many wonderful things in Tantra. I'll actually tell you one story about tantric techniques that kind of blew my mind. But I think that within Tantra lies the key to solving problems with depression, with anxiety, with fulfillment, and many things. So if we can unlock that, I think it unravels many of the other puzzles that people have to deal with.
Well, I really want to hear that story, and I think right beforehand we're going to just pause really quickly and take a break to hear from our sponsors. So this is Dr. Patty Taylor, and we are talking with Moses Ma. So please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
And we're back, and we're talking with Moses Ma, and before the break, we were talking about orgasms, angasms, your life as a celibate monk, your business career, and all kinds of things, and now we're finding out what the new enlightenment is like, and a great story. So what is this?
By the way, I was never a monk. It takes a lot of training and discipline. I was just a lay person. I studied various neo-tantric techniques from various teachers, and I found that they were very powerful. The one that's the most interesting is the idea that sexual energy can change reality, that bliss and ecstasy can heal things. So one of the things I did was I have many friends, and one of them called me, and she said, I want you to do a tantric healing on me. I said, I'm not a teacher, I just study. She said, no, I absolutely know karmically that you're supposed to. And I said, you know, when someone says that, you can't, you just go with it. So what we did is we did a tantric healing together, and it was a traditional sacred spot work. But what amazed me was the power of the system. She had actually gone through many years of therapy and had never uncovered this one memory of herself as a child. And in this process, because it was the inclusion of that energy directly, she was able to break through that. So in her case, it was, I'm trying to decide whether to tell the story, and I can. So,
I'm just going to interrupt. The sacred spot is the female G spot.
Yes. Yeah, so what happened here was she had been going to, you know, traditional psychotherapy for a long time, and she was having a pattern of failed marriages and came to me and asked me for help. And, you know, I don't take many students. I actually teach very, very privately because I enjoy my life too much to take too many students on. But when she came to me, she said she wanted a couple of things. She wanted to be able to leave an abusive husband. She wanted to be able to find a relationship that really worked for her, where she would be honored. And she actually wanted to get a better job because she was like in this job where they just weren't making ends meet. And her dream job was, you know, there was a dream job she wanted. So when we did this process, it uncovered this memory of when her father tricked her onto her lap and said, you know, I'll give you a present, so close your eyes. And they were a very poor family, you know, so he actually pulled out a pair of pliers and pulled a tooth out, you know, after promising her a treat. So this was so shocking to her that she ended up in engramming this knowledge. And she was absolutely in tears and hadn't seen this before. And when it was released, I said, you know, so how did you feel? And she said, you know, I just realized that all my life I believed that men would promise me good things and then they would cheat me. And I said, and you're left toothless and defenseless. And she said, yeah. And I said, great. So we continued the work and reprogrammed it. And it was only three sessions and an absolute miracle. But after the second session, she left her husband that she couldn't leave because she was, you know, emotionally addicted to him, found a decent guy who she's married to now. And the third one, she said, and you're never going to believe this, I also found that perfect job I wanted. You know, I had applied for 2 years ago and a year ago, and they had never called me back. And out of the blue, they called her after doing this work. So she was kind of impressed. And I thought this was just amazing, you know. And so I wrote it up as a case history, and I started going to other tantra teachers and say, do you have these kinds of experiences? And some of the teachers I've met are amazing, like Mare Simone in San Diego. She actually had a man who was a paraplegic and had no feeling. And she was, through this work, able to help him have orgasms again and actually start sending energy into his lower body. I met another teacher who, you know, she says, I cannot take claim for this, but a man comes to me dying of cancer and said, I just wanted to have one last fling. And then we realized that he was trapped in a life he didn't want. You know, he was married to someone he didn't want. He was trapped in a job. And it was actually his life telling him to turn it around. So when he embraced it, he had a complete remission. And she said, I can't take credit for it, but there's something happening. You know, the energy of transformation starts with sexuality. And if you ignore it, if you repress it, the transformation is only intellectual. It can't actually flow through the entire being and experience of the being.
So this new enlightenment as a verb is not a religion. It just cuts across all doctrines, all creeds. Then you said it's a melting pot of all types of awareness. I really like that.
Yeah, I think that the new Neo-Tantra and the new American Buddhism and the new American Zen, the new American Neo-Taoism, all of these, and Neo-Christianity and Neo-Judaism, all of these are actually looking through the filter of what is real and seeing the complete reality of religion and taking away what doesn't work and actually keeping what does work. So I think that the integration of psychotherapeutic techniques, which were only invented 100 years ago, into these spiritual techniques is giving us, you know, the equivalent of an atom bomb in terms of human consciousness.
Do you think that there's, in a sense, a dropping away of the labels? I mean, that it's making less and less sense to say that there's a Neo-Taoism or a Neo-Buddhism or a Neo-Tantra, in a sense? I mean, that it's just all kind of going into the melting pot of using the body and the mind to go to fuse awareness with the body as divine. I mean, do you see some trend in that way where it doesn't even matter, you know, what your roots are? Everybody's reading everything now.
You know, I have to tell you that I'm actually in this river and swimming along with the tide, and I can't see where it's heading. Uh-huh. And I don't know. But I do know that people are finding things that actually work. So what I usually ask, I'm founding a new system called TantraTV.com, Tantra-TV.com, and it'll help Tantra teachers and eventually other kinds of instructors and life coaches to be able to find online audiences for their work. But one of the things I ask everyone to do first is a case history or a set of case histories of what you've actually done and the impact it's had on people, because we need to validate this and verify it and use a scientific approach to clearly see what works and what doesn't. Because there are things that don't work that people are still stuck on for ego gratification. We have to let those things go and move from an era of spiritual materialism to an era of true spirituality.
Well, I think that's really great. So if it's okay, I'd like to return to the question of this wonderful post I read from yours on male multiple orgasm and the angasms, because what you said was you think that there's a lot of confusion out there and a lot of possibly, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to be had for people to learn how to circulate their energy and to have more for the men, and then we can talk about what you think possibly for women or whatever, but to circulate the energy. And I just want to be sure we cover this, that a lot of the people go into the male multiple orgasm but don't really get the benefit from having it when they could be, you know, circulating the energy and just having more of a wonderful experience. I was just wondering if you could comment on that.
Sure. One of my favorite artists is Pablo Picasso, because before he became an abstract cubist, he was actually incredibly good at realistic painting. So he mastered that before he became abstract. I think that if you study Tantra and Taoism and Buddhism and the esoteric systems, that you actually should have a core where you do traditional tantric techniques and master that, mainly because I think that sexuality is so addictive that we can fool ourselves into thinking that this is, you know, a form of spirituality when in fact we're kind of dissipating ourselves. So if you could do both, if you can actually let go and be in pleasure and also let go and be completely celibate if you want to be, that's actually, and be happy there, that's the key to it. So the one thing I do know is that if you are unhealthy, it's probably not a good idea to have a lot of sex and ejaculation, according to Taoist theory and to acupuncture. And there's actually a formula which I'll pass on to you. If you take a man's age and you divide it by 10 and you square it, that tells you how many days you should wait between ejaculations. So if you're 30, you take 3 and you multiply it by itself and that's 9, you could wait 9 days. That's a long time to wait for most Americans. And if you're 40, you're supposed to wait like a half a month. When you're 60, you're supposed to wait a month between every ejaculation. But that's, in general, that's the rule for if you're trying to build a greater amount of energy or if you're trying to heal yourself. I think that what's more important is to kind of not be religious about, you know, I think that there's a lot of organized religion that's not really good for us. And around sexuality is like an organized religion that says either you don't have ejaculations or you do, you know, one or the other. And what we want to do is just find what the truth is for people and just to be there and not to be so attached either way. So my answer is I don't know. But I know that what you want is to transcend your thought patterns about it and the myths that you want to live with and to find what really works for you.
Okay, because I know a lot of men who do practice the male multiple orgasm who have separated the ejaculation from the orgasm, and I know a lot of men who just say, you know, I've been trying to for years and I find it absolutely impossible, but who found other ways to spread their orgasms and just, you know, kind of use breathing and stuff to carry it along and are just as happy doing it that way. And So I've never found that there's any one way that works for everyone either. So I think that goes back to the whole melting pot conversation, that everyone really should find their own way to do it.
Yeah, I think it's important to do that. And the other thing I think that is valuable is to find true teachers in the world. For example, when I was traveling around in Asia with a master, he introduced me to his grandmaster, who his name was Choi, Grandmaster Choi, and he was a master of Tungbei. And he was, you know, 80 years old, and he worked as a he used to be wealthy and famous, and he gave everything up and just was a night watchman. But when I met him, you could feel the energy so powerfully around him that it just hit you, right? And his favorite trick was he would pile up a bunch of bricks and he'd say, which one do you want me to break? And then he'd tap it and break that one by sending his energy out. So the day I met him for the first time, I took one look at him and I burst into tears and I couldn't stop for 5 hours. You know, it was actually very embarrassing on the buses of Hong Kong to be just like weeping uncontrollably. And so one of my classmates asked my teacher, why is, you know, Moses crying so much? He says, it's a past life thing. You know, he's meeting his... So I think that it's very important to find actual teachers and actual wisdom and to study under those systems. And then you should let them go. Like they say, when you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him. So it's great to study with them, and it's great to let them go as well.
Yeah, I don't think we have that in this culture, in the American culture, the whole idea of finding a teacher. You know, I think that we just kind of go to seminars, and there's not a real, I think there's such a fear of gurus or, you know, masters. It's been kind of really bashed in this country. And I don't even know if there are that many masters in this country or whatever. I mean, I love having my masters. That's probably one of the greatest joys in my life. But I don't meet a lot of people that are really, you know, have found their masters.
Yeah, I agree. I'd say that of the various Dakinis I've met, I know of one who suddenly realized that she needed a master, found one, and it opened her heart chakra completely to be with a teacher that you can actually have this very intimate relationship with. So I can tell you that there are actually many teachers all over America. There are more Buddhist temples in Northern California than anywhere in the world right now. And they're all hidden in plain sight. And when you find them, it's very valuable, you know, to open the heart chakra to find through finding the right teacher.
Yeah, but they're not talking about sex and orgasm and as a pathway to the transcendence of consciousness. So, you know.
Actually, you know.
Did they go to the Dakinis for that? The people who, you know, the sex and sex workers and, you know, where do you find a master for the sexual education?
Well, you know.
I mean, you do Tantra TV, so you're a good person to ask, right? Maybe.
You know, there are many really great teachers out there, and all I can say is that when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. So they're out there, and you have to look at them. And I, you know, CM Chen's student is still teaching, Dr. Yin, I believe, Lin Yu Tan, and he's teaching in Berkeley, and he's a great teacher. And Sarasvati is a great teacher, and I think Bodhi Avinash's school, the Ipsilu school, those are really wonderful places. I think if you want to have a great time, I would travel to Europe and go study with Daniel Odier, who's a traditional Shaivist. And these are wonderful people to study with. And it doesn't have to be Tantra. Any teacher who you actually can bond with can take you to the same place. So, you know, I love the teachings of Guru Mai, Muktananda's disciple. You know, there's the City of 10,000 Buddhas in Ukiah. It's an incredible place. The teacher there has passed away, but all of his disciples still teach. You know, when they cremated him, his skull is still on display, and it's completely covered with blue crystals because when he meditated, the energy crystallized on his skull, and you can actually look at the skull, and there's these enormous crystals all over it, which are called sarira, which are signs of Buddha energy.
So one thing I'm hearing you say is really, you know, not to just when you're getting enlightened, it really is going to affect your whole life, your sex life, your health, your vitality, and everything is going to shift out of that. And so,
yeah, I think that basically go and look for teachers. No, it's in America. It is kind of dangerous. There are a lot of gurus out there that are, you know, generally. For example, when I take students, I don't ask for money. You know, I actually want. I ask them to donate to charity because I don't want that karma. But basically, if you find someone who says, you know, give me your life savings, it's probably not the right school for you to be in. So I think that Americans need to watch out for cults.
Right. Well, I agree with you. Well, we're going to take another quick break. So we are talking with Moses Ma. And notice we didn't give his website. He does like people to figure it out to find him. But please stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. And we're going to hear from our sponsor.
Listen to On the Minds of Men, Uncensored Sex Talk with Dr. Lori, a weekly audio program bringing the best in sex therapy to your life on personallifemedia.com.
So we're back, and this is Dr. Patty Taylor, and we're talking with Moses Ma. So are there any wonderful, useful things that you've picked up along the way that you are still doing that you've just found are wonderful after all these years?
Yeah, there are actually several techniques. The first one, it's incredibly simple. It's called fractionated urination. And it's a way to practice or train your Kegel muscles all the time. So what you do is when you go to the bathroom, you stop halfway. You actually completely stop urination even though you're still not done. And then you hold it and then you start again and then you stop halfway. You do that several times and it practices Kegel muscles. That is actually was considered a major high secret in Taoist schools for many years, right?
Does this work for women as well as men, men as well as women? I mean, who's this for?
Yeah, this is actually for both men and women. Kegel muscles work for everybody. But it is true that men and women have different types of practices. And I'm not well adept in women's techniques in Taoist tantric practices.
Okay, so men do it and women, you know, well, we do have Kegel muscles. So
no,
what?
The urination everybody can do. The other thing I recommend is just to go find a Qigong instructor and learn some Qigong, so basic Qigong, and to use that as a basis for a lot of the other work that you'll do. The other one is, I think the best one is to actually to meditate regularly. So 20 minutes a day of any kind of meditation is actually very good. If you can find a system that really calls to you, it'd be great. For example, the system that I actually learned, I had met this Taoist teacher, and I had a dream one night when I was staying at the temple, and that a spirit teacher came and taught me a certain chant and a meditation. When I woke up, I related it to him, and he went, "That's pretty amazing. That's what I was going to teach you tomorrow." So I believe that if you find the right teacher, you can actually be taught very interesting systems. But again, I recommend teachers who aren't really famous, that basically are hidden in plain sight, and probably are the waiter at the local Chinese restaurant.
So I love that you say that, because a lot of people probably are going to have a lot easier time finding someone who lives in their local town or in their neighborhood than somebody who's got a really big famous name. What are some tips for finding that person? How would you know? What might it look like or feel like? Just off-the-cuff examples.
Wow, you know, falling in love and finding a sifu or a guru are the two hardest things, and I don't have any answers for that. All I can say is that, you know, if you play your cards right and you just have a very clear soul, that it'll actually happen, and you'll know that it's right for you when it does happen.
Right. Well, you know what? I know that Muktananda often said that, the seeker is the one that really does create the teacher. So I guess when you decide, when listeners decide that they really are ready for that teacher, the teacher will suddenly pop up and they will know it. And I do agree with you that it will impact not just your mind and everything, but also your sex life and your love life. It'll just shift you entirely. So I want to just talk to you a little bit about Tantra TV. That's a major project for you now. What are you hoping to achieve with that? That's a pretty major vision for you.
Yeah, well...
What is it, first of all? Maybe you might also tell us what that is, too, and then maybe...
Yeah, I actually think it's too hard to find the right teacher in many cases. And honestly, people won't try that hard. So in order to help people find teachers, find students, and students find teachers, I wanted to basically create the Google for spiritual information, right? So the way to do that is to allow people not only just to say something on a website, but to actually videotape them so you can get a sense of who they are, so that it's like video dating between teachers and students. So Tantra TV is really a way for people to upload video about themselves and what they believe in, and to meet through each other through video, and also to look at various teachers and see if someone's got some learning that they would like to learn from someone.
Uh-huh. And is there what kind of teachers are going to be on there? Will there be like all shapes and sizes, or is there a particular kind of teacher that you really have in mind that's really perfect for Tantra TV?
Well, you know, ideally, I'd love to just open that up to other kinds of spiritual disciplines, but Tantra gives you a very good first case to work at because it's a smaller universe of teachers. But we're very non-denominational. We've asked everyone we can find to come and create content for the site so that it becomes a one-stop shopping area for people wanting to learn about Tantra and Tantric techniques.
So that's a pretty amazing vision. I mean, I personally think that TV has tackled just about every subject I can think of. I mean, they've gotten, you know, what they've gotten the gay population and the polyamorous and they're trying to go for every subcategory and every subpopulation they can think of. You know, I'm surprised they don't have dating for horses at this point. But, you know, it's the one thing they really haven't gotten is the Tantra population. I'm really excited that there would actually, you know, be a market for this. How close are we to actually seeing this on TV? I mean, oh, my God, I really go crazy thinking that I could turn on the TV and see some of my favorite tantricas and heroes on TV. Gosh, what a world that would be.
You know, I think that the first deployment will be on internet television, which is sort of like YouTube-like quality, and that'll come out later this year. But what's happening on the internet is that it's television in 5 years will be unlike what we see today. Basically, you'll be able to see any content on television that's on the internet, on your big screen TV. So I think that we're kind of moving ahead of the rest of the market. But when it gets there, it'll be one of the channels you can tune into and say, that's a specific interest of mine. And you can actually just dial in and see that 24 hours a day if you like.
Wow. So we have a lot to be thankful for, that people like you are fusing together spirituality and technology, because it'll be thanks to you that we'll be able to meet some of these teachers and hook up with the one that really does appeal to us heart to heart. And I don't know, how much better does it get than that, huh?
Yeah, I in my work as a technology visionary, I've believe that the internet will go through three major revolutions. The first is that it will commercialize. So, and you've already seen that. Many years ago, we were afraid of using the internet with credit cards, and then e-commerce came along. The next step is actually to politicize the internet, and you're beginning to see that with YouTube and the elections. So people using the internet to win elections or to impact people. The third great wave, I think, is the spiritualization of the internet. And when that happens, that means that people can actually emote at a very deep level with each other through the medium of the internet. And at that point, I think we'll see the completion of the information revolution.
So, and how far in advance is this going to be?
Oh, commercialization already happened with the e-commerce trend. Politicization is happening now. I predict that spiritualization of the internet will happen within 5 years.
Okay, so teledildonics, how far off are we from that?
You know, I actually don't like toys that much myself, but
how would you define teledildonics?
There actually are a number of startups building products that you can actually plug into the internet so that you can talk to each other and then, you know, trigger vibrators. Actually, one of them is like the most successful one is an iPod gadget that you can. But I think that's just a niche market. That's what we're really looking for is if you look at what the core of Tantra is, you get attracted by the sexuality. But what it's really about is tools for communication and connection and to open all of your chakras. And I think that the communicating over the internet's the same way. At first, it's about tools. It's about how cute it is. But eventually, it's really about being able to go deep with someone over this medium.
I don't know. I could see the day where I could sort of write like a love letter and do an om and then maybe have it, you know, my lover's, you know, in another state and have that om sort of go through the internet and go download into their iPod, and they have a device that's sort of a suction cup and kind of ohms onto their nipples and amplifies and sort of gets them off. I mean, isn't that like, how far off can that be?
Well, you know, if you watch, you should see this movie called The O in Ohio with Parker Posey. She plays a woman who's never had an orgasm, and then she becomes addicted to them when she discovers, you know, vibrators. And so she puts a phone in her panties and has to give a business presentation. It is the best, it's the best performance I've ever seen Parker Posey do. And so that means that it's already happening.
Okay, good, good. So what other trends do you think we ought to be on the lookout for then in terms of Tantra and technology and spirituality? Anything else to look forward to?
Yeah, in terms of Tantra specifically, I think that what we're in the middle of right now, you know, over the next few years, is that there's a changing of the guard from the first generation of Neo-Tantra instructors to this next generation. And out of this group will emerge the Deepak Chopras and the, you know, who's that Tony Robbins of Tantra. So I think that what we're seeing is that process is actually happening right now. And it's an exciting one to watch because what you do is you get to watch these teachers blossom before your very eyes.
Do we know who they are yet, or is it sort of like a hotly contested sort of race right now between the really young ones and we have no idea, or could you be starting to put money on them, or is it sort of like they're still the dominant ones that are in force and we don't really know what the new ones are going to look like yet?
Well, you're one.
Well, you're so sweet. And
okay, so one thing I learned when I had my video game company is that all hits are flukes. You cannot predict which movie, which game, which book, novel will be a hit until you just put it out there. And what happens is that the that person who produces compelling content and becomes a star actually grows very, very quickly to adapt to that market. So I think that there are many candidates out there. I've seen lots and lots of teachers that have a great amount of potential, and I'd be happy to name them off, but I know that, like at the Academy Awards, if you miss one name, everyone else is angry, so I won't do that.
I was just going to say the same thing. Please don't, because I don't want to have to cut that out of this interview. It's just three more letters I'm going to have to type and cut this and cut that. You're absolutely right. God forbid you leave anyone out. And there's probably too many to name anyway. As you said, they probably will. But what would some of the characteristics be? Will they, in other words, I remember when rock music was just playing good music, and then it got to be where it was like you had to put on a really great show. I mean, are there characteristics? It's interesting because I think about some of the stuff I've heard talk about. What is it like to have a generation of enlightened people that aren't from China or aren't from Tibet, but have a Brooklyn accent? It's kind of weird, you know? So what is it going to be like when you have a generation of enlightened Tantra masters that, you know, are from California and are eating raw food and, you know, I mean, how's it going to be different when they don't come from a lineage? I mean, Kashmiri Shaivism, it's the same thing. I mean, where they haven't grown up in the Himalayas?
You know, I will give you a couple of examples. One thing I think that will be a characteristic of the next big Tantra star is the ability to mainstream the content and information in a way that people can understand it. That doesn't mean that they've repackaged it, but that they bring it and express it through their heart in a way that connects to other people. And just to name a few names, you know, I think Mare Simone, Anna Marti, David Fabricius, Sean Roop, you know, Amber St. Germain, Ariel White, Triambika is incredible, Karen Armstrong, you know, Evelina Rose. The list just goes on and on. There are these emerging teachers that are now getting their act together and are about to, you know, take it on the road. And I think they're going to really get a lot done out there.
Well, wow, that's really great information. Okay, well, we're going to bring this interview to a close pretty soon. Before we do, I'm going to ask you one final question. What is the message that you would like to personally leave to the world if you knew that, you know, all our listeners could really just get one thing from you and absolutely just really, really, really get it? What would that be?
Okay, I think the most important thing is that we can't be one-dimensional about spirituality, that we can't just say, you know, I really understand sexuality and now I'm enlightened, or I really understand how to meditate and I'm enlightened. Or so what I believe is that a complete process of getting to complete reality includes sexuality, emotionality, physicality, intellectuality, all of that put together, so that is a complete package and you can actually get there in a very comprehensive manner that will impact your life positively.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Now, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, actually, I don't actually want people to get in touch with me too easily, so I'm not going to tell you. And what you should do is, if you decide, wow, I'd like to meet him, or I'd like to learn something from this guy, you have to find me, and it's no fair using Google. So just allow magical coincidences to bring you to me. I will be at Burning Man somewhere, so you could find me.
Okay, well, thank you once again. This has been so much fun. I know I've learned a lot, so I've really had a great time. Thank you again.
Thanks.
Yes. So, okay, join us next week on the Expanded Lovemaking Show when we talk to Barry Kamisuriak on the science of orgasm. Thank you so much for listening. Please do send me your email at patty@personallifemedia.com. If you haven't yet, please be sure to subscribe today to get automatic updates to our show as soon as they get released. For text and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. This is your host, Dr. Patty Taylor. That's all for now. I remain yours in ever-expanding lovemaking, and I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.